हरिः ओम तत्सत्, हरिः ओम तत्सत्, हरिः ओम तत्सत्। हाउ टू ब्रिंग अबाउट ए प्रॉपर अवेयरनेस इवैल्यूएशन and also a resolve in the mind of the seekers and devotees, I think it is a very vexing but permanent question, unavoidable. Uddhared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmaiva hi atmano bandhu atmaiva riburatmana. Uddhared atmanatmanam उद्धरेद आत्मना आत्मानम् नात्मानम् अवसादयेत्। दिस इज फ्रॉम द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद गीता। कृष्णा इज स्पीकिंग अबाउट प्राइमरली मेडिटेशन, हाउ टू रीच द सुप्रीम इनर स्टेट। ही सेज दैट उद्धरेद आत्मना आत्मानम्, एवरीवन शुड एलिवेट हिमसेल्फ। Now, in the matter of elevating yourself, are you dependent on others? Do you require any special favor or blessing from even God? Krishna says, no. Atmana atmanam uddhared. You have to elevate yourself only by making use of your own mind and intelligence, inner resources. In the matter of employing this self-elevating effort, you are not depending upon anyone. Atmana eva. No other factor is involved there. Questions are asked, I want to improve but I am not able to improve. I don't want to get angry but I get angry. I don't want to be this, I don't want to be that, but I am becoming like that. See, everybody has a nature. We are not controlled. We are all born, and each parent can only give rise to a child born of him. So the child will have some inherited tendencies. Just like you have a certain physical body, its shape and features, you will also have the inner personality, mind, intelligence and ego, with its characteristics, features, tendencies, etc. So never say that I am not what I want. Nobody is perhaps what he or she wants. We are what we are. Now the question is, human life is meant for examining one's own personality, find out what are the traits unacceptable or undesirable, and then eliminate them, try to know about the acceptable and desirable ones, and incorporate them. This is the only spiritual exercise everyone is supposed to and can possibly do. Will you understand it basically? We are all born with our own constrictions. These constrictions have to be identified properly, and then by self-effort you have to remove them. Physically changing our body is not possible, nor is it meant for. But inner personality can be completely changed. An angry man can be very gentle and soft. A hateful man can be loving. How is it that a rich man of the US who was only giving for earning money suddenly turned a man of charity? It is opposed to earning. You are always wanting to earn money. Here, your attention is now spending whatever you have. Give it freely, give it freely, give it freely. How did the mind change from possessiveness to dispossessiveness? You tell me. I came here the other day, and he was saying, I have given the whole business to my son. He is doing it. He built up a business, he was very prosperous, and at one time he decided that, let my son look after, I won't go. How is it that the mind can be very possessive and also dispossessive? If it can be with regard to money and running a business, etc., can it not be with regard to anything and everything? The question is, do you want it? If so, what is the effort that you are making for it? A certain habit that is either inherited in us or developed in us, suppose you have to change it, how long and how old the habit is, you have to develop something in place for a longer time than what has been there. Suppose you are trying to change a habit which is 15 years old. I won't be surprised if you have to spend another 15 years. Then only the new habit will exceed the old one. Uddhareda atmana atmanam. But don't question whether you can change your habit or change your attitude at all or not. We are born as human beings only for this. Our shastras give a lot of enlightenment. It tells you about the power of the senses and the harm the senses can work. It tells you about how corrupt the mind is and how pure it can be. It tells you about how divergent the intellectual application can be and what is the best application. Why don't you be greedy for change, greedy for correction, greedy for improvement? The other day I had a discussion with some of the people here and they were saying, Swamiji, why is it that this does not go away from me, go away from me, go away from me? Why don't you understand what is the purpose of the shastras are a constant reminder about what human nature is, what are the real potentials it has, and what habits normally can be, and how to replace them, how long will it take? All these things are clearly mentioned there. I repeatedly tell you, please copy me. I have never made any struggle or effort in my life to cultivate a quality. Then how is it that Swamiji, if at all you have some qualities, how did they come up there? Either I had them or they entered into me. How did they enter? I think you should listen to me very carefully. We have luckily and fortunately quite a number of Sanskrit texts. Our literature is very great. In that literature, the qualities of human life are mentioned in various contexts, in various inspiring and enlightening ways. Can you imagine the great poet Bhartrihari having written 100 verses on what is called morality, ethics, and virtues? Morality, ethics, and virtues. And each virtue he discusses with examples taken from world and nature. We have a verse which describes Vidyadhanam Sarvadhanat Pradhanam. The wealth of knowledge is the best of all forms of wealth. This is the last phrase, last description of a verse. Vidyanamanarasya rupamadhigam prachanna guptam dhanam vidya bhogakari yashas sukhakari vidya gurunam guruhu vidya bandhujano videshagamane vidya para devata vidya rajasupujita nadudhanam vidya vihinav pashu. See, it's a description of how great knowledge is, how wealthy. Suppose you learn this verse. Why are you learning? Because it is something to be learned. Any learning becomes part of your system. part of your understanding system. And once you have learned it, automatically your attitude about wealth will be governed by this sloka. I was mentioning the other day, mat karma krid mat paramaha mat bhaktaha sangavarjidaha nirvaira sarva bhudeshu yassa mamedi pandava. Mat karma krid mat paramo mat bhaktaha sangavarjidaha nirvaira sarva bhudeshu. Five items are mentioned there. Why don't you spend some time? Just love that verse. Learn it by heart and keep it in your heart. Remember it. Remember it. What is meant by parayana? What is meant by swadhyaya? Swadhyaya is actually sadhana. Swadhyaya means sadhana, sadhana, sadhana. Adveshta sarvabhutanam. One line, Adveshta Sarvabhutanam. When you read it and you give your mind to it, can you ever become a dveshi? Hateful? How can you be? Then why are you reading? Are you giving your mind and heart to it? I think every one of you should examine how zealous or sincere you are in the matter of listening to or reading these wonderful excellence items. Everything about spirituality is building up mental intellectual excellence in the human. Excellence in the level of the mind and excellence in the level of the intelligence. It increases your willpower. When I write that Vishnu Sahasrama, will increase the power of retention, the power of application, there seems to be some doubt among some people. You need not doubt it at all. After all, Vishnu Sahasranama is spending about 20 or 25 minutes minimum in chanting. If you go on applying your mind, very soon you will learn it by heart. Now, keeping the head occupied with Vishnu Sahasranama, he says it is an insulation against dementia. Not only Vishnu Sahasranama, any kind of a Sanskrit verse, etc. See, I am not able to get some words. When I start chanting, I may not get the words. But I go on just like the computer goes on searching. My brain will go on searching, 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 and somehow it will bring. The other day I was not able to get the word Gaudapada. Shankara, Shankara's teacher, teacher's teacher. And within my speech I was looking, what is this word? I could not get. So I just evasively mentioned about it and continued. Then within seconds it came to me, Gaudapada. We don't know the mystery of human brain. So you must have some kind of a practice, chanting and other things. Even in Ma's recent instance of hemorrhage, her faculties are very sharp. She did not have any impaired speech. Particularly that non-damage of the brain, so to say. Physically there is a damage. And I don't know subtly what all damage was there. But otherwise, her understanding, memory, retention, sharpness, everything is intact. And I'm reasonably sure that in the whole process, her recitation, her affinity for Sanskrit verses, songs, all of them have played a very great part. Now, who will say they have not played? Who will say they have played? It is better to assume they have played because it is beneficial. Suppose we denounce that it does not play. I told you about an engineering boy who passed, came here and said, Swamiji, I have been listening to your Mukti Sudhagaram one and a half years. You said that spiritual interest will enable a student to read better, understand faster. 1 hour's reading and absorption will be reduced to, if not 30 minutes, at least 40 minutes. It is literally true. Because these children, when they are trying to learn, they are not able to focus. They read and they read over again. Children are coming and reporting, I am not able to focus. So most of the reading time, the focus is not there. That inner attention and involvement. So when they become spiritual means what? Spirituality, whether you know it or not, it's always an effort to enrich, improve, strengthen and sharpen your mind and intelligence. All spiritual practices are only meant for that. And as a result, you will find you have better health. Now, so many people are saying so many things. I was a sick child ever since I could remember. Up to 19 years or so, I used to have every time month fever. And I had such a problematic stomach. With all these things, I seem to have survived for so long. I had little trouble in my body. But no work was stopped. Everything I have been carrying on. How is it that in spite of a sick body, I was able to do all this? Quite possibly, my spiritual involvement must have helped me. That is why, and moreover, it is something good. We can always say, Arthavada, Phalashruti, it is always necessary. So Vishnu Sahasrama, my dear children, you learn, I say, so that your study will be improved, examination fear will go, nervousness will vanish, and you will be able to retain things. Many children come and say that they forget. Suppose you start remembering Vishnu Sahasrama, the whole of Vishnu Sahasrama to remember is a big job. 20 minutes of recitation. If our brain has got this capacity, don't you think their memory power, that memory area of the brain, will generally be improved? So their memory also, so far as examination is concerned, will be much better. Let us say that. Let them learn Vishnu Sahasrama to provoke or to inspire a man to do something good. We can say anything. Because people are given to Phalashruti. Phalashruti. What benefit will I get? This is the benefit you will get. The whole devotional life is purely psychological. God has nothing to do there. He has already built your system to work properly. But it's psychological. By thinking about God, they get many things which otherwise they will miss. So I believe that all of you should be feeling very clearly, Uddhared Atmana Atmanam. Never tell me the story, Swamiji, I am not able to do, will I be able to do? Never say that. Never think it. You are born here to only improve, and you can. Otherwise, why should Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? So remember this. Harihi Om Tatsa Jayakuru.